And it is Jared and the GM on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. We are live today at K-Bob's out here on 21st Avenue South. Floyd, we have a pair of tickets to give away for tomorrow's game number 5. How are you on this Fireball Hot Take Friday? If I haven't mentioned it's Fireball Hot Take Friday, I'd like to tell the people that it is a Fireball Hot Take Friday, so just throw that out there.
Outstanding.
Because it's Fireball Hot Take Friday?
Because we have two tickets to give away to tomorrow's 2 o'clock game.
That's right. Tomorrow's 2 o'clock game, we have a pair of tickets. K-Bob's Grill and Ale has 3 to 4 new beers each day and rotates through as many as 450 a year. 2-for-1 beer and wings from 4 to 10 on Tuesdays. They have a rotating beer of the day special and so much more. K-Bob's Grill and Ale, located in Hillsborough Village across from Vandy at 1602 21st Avenue South. That's where we are today with a pair of tickets for you to win. And I think we should start on this. It looks like Peter Laviolette might be changing things up after finally realizing the second line is no offense, no good. Because this, apparently, these were the practice lines today. We obviously know Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson. That was, you know, the number one line. After that, Sissons and Yarncroke on the second line with Mikhail Granlin. Nick Bonino on the third line with Austin Watson and Craig Smith. And then, as Adam Vingan put it, some combination of Brian Boyle, Kyle Turris, Mika Salamaki, Freddie Gaudreau, and Wayne Simmonds on the fourth line. And that does not include Rocco Grimaldi, who did not practice today for quote-unquote maintenance, which means Grimaldi's probably hurt, but not hurt enough to not play. You know what I mean?
Maintenance?
Well, they're not going to tell you that Grimaldi's hurt.
He's only played 5 or 6 games.
Well, remember, Grimaldi got hurt at the end of the regular season. And then, you know, they didn't really talk much about it, and we didn't really care much about it because, I mean, no offense, but we didn't really care much about Grimaldi at that point. So then Grimaldi didn't play in the playoffs, and then he was healthy enough to go. My gut tells me whatever was ailing him then is ailing him now. It's not ailing him enough for him to not play tomorrow. It's just ailing him enough to where, you know what, keep him off the ice an extra day and let him, you know, Steve McNair style. Not to say that Rocco Grimaldi is anything like Steve McNair. I'm just saying, you know, Steve McNair style, don't practice, but go play. So let's start this. What do we think of this? Peter changing up the lines. Peter essentially moving Kyle Turris finally down to the fourth line. Like, what do we think of that? I think that seems to be, I mean, thank God, hallelujah, it's about time. What do we think about some of this stuff that he's moving things around?
I mean, I think he had to see what was going on the last game they played and how, you know, changing of their lines perhaps helped him. And so maybe he looked at that and said, hey, okay, we're going to go ahead and adapt that way too. Time for him to move him around, which is fine with me. I mean, I know there are really, really a lot of hard, you know, facts revolving around, you know, are you on the second line or the third line or the fourth, or who are you playing with, and all of those kinds of things that are, you know, deep, deep, deep. And I certainly don't know why he's making the moves, but if he's making them, I'm all for him.
I think this has to do with something Crispy told us a while back, which was at one point in the year the Preds were struggling, and we asked Crispy, you know, what do you do with the lines? And Crispy said, give me my best 6. I don't care who they are. I don't care what position they give me my best 6. And I think Peter is at the point where he tried. He tried to get Kyle Turris to be the Kyle Turris that he was last year. He tried to get Mikhail. Now, he's got Mikhail Granlin still on the second line, but he tried to make that offensive line, Turris, Granlin, Smith. He tried to make it work, and now he can't do it. And now, like Crispy would say, give me my best 6. I think that's what he's doing. I think he's looking at it like, okay, Forsberg, Arvidsson, Johansson, Sissons, Yarncroke, and I guess Granlin. Okay, you know? I mean, I feel like that's what he's doing right now at this point is, and I do think maybe maybe we should, you know, we're kind of down on Mikhail Granlin, and we maybe should be, but maybe we should also look at the guys that he's put Mikhail Granlin with since Granlin got here. He had him on in a game one time with Rym Petlick and Turris. You know, the kid right out of college in Turris. And he's had him with Turris the whole time. So maybe Granlin isn't as bad as we think. He just hasn't had a chance to play with anybody. So maybe that's the case there. But I don't know how I feel about Smith on the third line, because that's kind of a defensive checking line. But again, I think what it's become is just give me my best 6 and then everything else below it, you know, just mix and match and just fill it out until you're done with it. Or maybe Peter's doing this on the practice day to get the attention of Jim Montgomery and the attention of Dallas, because Dallas won't have the last change tomorrow. And so maybe Peter's doing this to kind of throw one up in the air on him to get him to do things that they want him to do. I don't know. Maybe he's trying to throw a little red herring out there at practice today.
Yeah, I mean, he might go back to regular lines tomorrow. Who knows?
But none of us want him to do that, right?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But who knows?
I do feel like, look, with the Kyle Turris thing, I think that they should give him a fresh start at the beginning of next year. That when the season starts next year, whenever this season ends, to say, okay, you are going to come to training camp with the ability to compete to be the second line center next year, that they still have the hope that you can rebuild it up. But I think the sitting there and praying that he's going to get back to being what he was at the middle of last year at this point in this year is just not applicable. It's just not, you just can't waste any more time. Now that you're at the best of three in the first round, you just can't waste any more time waiting for him to finally come around. And I think that's where Peter is. I mean, we know he stinks. Peter knows he stinks. But Peter was trying for the longest to get him to not stink.
Yeah, I mean, it's sad if, in fact, that's the case, only because, I mean, you know, we've seen him play good. Mm-hmm. I mean, we know he's a much better player than what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. And so you say, okay, how do we get, you know, in my opinion, as a coach, an assistant coach, it's your job to get the guys in your group to play as good as they can play. Mm-hmm. Well, that's obviously not happening. So, I mean, I think you need to, you know, I always felt like if I had a player do that to me, that was a failing on my part. I was not able to get through to this guy for some reason, whatever the reason may be. Mm-hmm. And I always felt like this. So I tried to go at it twice as hard or three times hard because I didn't want to admit I was wrong. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to admit I was screwed him up, you know, so I'm going to make sure that I'm not the one to do that. And I don't know what the case is with him, but you don't have enough good players to just cast him aside, you know. And I don't mean you meaning the Breads. I mean you, any team, mm-hmm. any sport. You just don't have enough good ones. So, anyway, maybe that's right. If it is, I'm sad. I mean, it's sad because you lose a player. But, you know, it is
don't
what it is.
Don't have time to worry about that right now with Game 5 tomorrow.
Is. The problem is, the, you know, who do you replace him with that's going to be better? Who do you replace him with that's going to be better when he's playing good? And there's nobody there.
Well, in this case, you know, when he's playing well, Yarn Croak is not as good as Turris was in the middle of last year or whatever. But Yarn Croak is playing much better hockey right now. So I'm okay with Yarn Croak getting that ice time. I'm okay with Sissons getting that ice time, especially those are two guys that have played in the Stanley Cup final before. So I'm not.
Right. But my point is if he's playing here, let's say his best is 85% mm-hmm. and Yarn Croak's best is 75%. Well, I mean, if he's playing at his absolute best, yeah, you're losing 10%.
So that's kind of the big thing right there on the lines. The second thing, Game 5 tomorrow. Floyd, you said this. I think we sat in the same spot last year before Game 5 of the Winnipeg Series when we were giving away Game 5 tickets to that. So we're giving away Game 5 tickets here at K-Bob's again. And you said you thought the winner of Game 5 between the Preds and the Jets was going to win the series.
Right.
And the Jets went out there and smoked the Predators, and obviously we know how the series ended. Do you feel the same way about this series?
Yep.
Do you feel like the winner tomorrow wins the series?
Yep. I sure do. And I don't. I have nothing to base it on. Mm-hmm. I just, you know, I mean, this is the way I'm looking at it right now. I think the Preds have to win this one because it's at home. Worst case scenario, they go there and lose, come back home, win game seven. We're off and running, you know. That's kind of the worst case scenario to me. Now, if it doesn't work out that way, then I think it really gets hard. You know, if you're sitting there and you've got to win one of two, as close as these two teams are, mm-hmm. you've got to scratch and fight and claw and find a way to win one, and the other team has to win two. And I don't think that either one of these teams can win two.
I feel like at some point, and I'm not sure how much home ice matters in this series. In fact, you know, I guess logic would tell you that it doesn't matter at all. But at some point, you need to take advantage of home ice. You know, you didn't take advantage of home ice at any point last year. You had Colorado with the chance to punch them out in Game 5, and you didn't. You had Winnipeg here in Game 5, lost. Here in Game 7, lost. Lose Game 1 here. I mean, I get it. Home ice obviously isn't that big of a deal anymore at Bridgestone Arena. But at some point, you do all this work in order to get it. You need to take advantage of it. And I'm with you. I think the winner of tomorrow's game wins a series only because this series has such a seesaw effect. It's like punch, counterpunch. So now you're starting the series all over again, and it's who's going to land the first punch, because if the other team throws the counterpunch, then you get game seven. And that's, I mean, could the Predators win 6 and 7 in a row if they lose? They could, but I would not feel good about it whatsoever. So I hope the Predators approach tomorrow's game like Floyd is saying, with absolute certainty that the winner of tomorrow wins the series.
And I don't know. I'm sure the league has some kind of stats out there, you know, saying that if you're 2-2 and you win game five, your chances of winning the series is X. But I have no idea what it is. But I'll bet it's substantial.
Thinking in my head, in a 2-2 series, when the Predators have won or lost game five since Peter Laviolette has been the coach, they have come back once, having lost game five in a 2-2 series and won 6 and 7. That was Anaheim 3 years ago. Ever since then, when it's 2-2, 2-2 at Anaheim Western Conference Final, Predators win game five, Predators win game six, onto the Stanley Cup. 2-2 Stanley Cup Final, lose game five in Pittsburgh, lose game six here. So when the result of game five has kind of been the most important thing. Winnipeg last year, we know how that went. Winnipeg won, and Winnipeg won the series. San Jose 3 years ago, 2-2 after four. Game five goes to San Jose. Series in seven goes to San Jose. So just off the top of my head right there, they've had five instances under Laviolette where they've been in this exact same spot, and the winner of game five has won the series every time except once. And that was Anaheim 2 years ago, and that was a choke job that got the coach fired. So, you know, make of that what you want. But that is how important I feel like game five is, and I'm sure that's probably how you feel like game five is. So let's do it. Let's get to it. Let's do the phone. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Floyd believes, just like he believed last year, that the winner of game five is going to win the series. I agree with him. So does that mean that tomorrow is basically like a game seven? What do you think of game five? What do you think of the lineup changes? So much more. We'll get to your phone. 615-737-1025. A loaded show today. You know, usually we don't like to bog it down with too many guests, but we got Adam Vingan coming in studio. We got C. Mace coming on today. We are just locked and loaded. We got some NFL draft stuff we'll get to as well today. But coming up next, Crispy has his take on what he's got to see out of the players in Game 5. So we'll get to that coming up next, plus your phones, as always, and thoughts on Game 5. 615-737-1025, live on this Fireball Hot Take Friday from K-Bob's Grill and Ale. That's K-Bob's Grill and Ale, located in Hillsboro Village, across from Vanderbilt University, 1602 21st Avenue South. K-Bob's also has a menu designed with healthy options. Come on out and register to win Game 5 tickets. We're here until 6. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Nice again to have a couple days in between. It worked for you guys, obviously, the last time coming out.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, the players got some rest yesterday. Today we were able to do some work and get back to, making adjustments and corrections on what we think we need to do. So I thought it was a good day. Sometimes it happens so quick, especially when you got to travel on those days between games. So to have the extra day, you know, to get home and then have the complete day off, I think that was beneficial. And then, you know, a good work day today.
Peter Laviolette, boy, can you tell Floyd he is in prime Peter playoff form. He don't want to talk too much anymore. He doesn't want to say anything. He doesn't want to be bothered. He wants to coach, which is prime playoff Peter form.
Sounded tired. I'll bet he hasn't slept real well for a day or two. So.
Well, you know, Tom Sigrin told me one time that he said it on the air, so I can say it. He told me that he feels like Peter doesn't do anything but coach during the playoffs. That he's like, if you look at him, you know, he gets in first thing in the morning, he leaves last, just all he does is coach during the playoffs. He doesn't, And it's, you know, I think it's kind of funny that my guess is Peter has not slept a lot since game five. As much as we complained about game five yesterday and as upset as we were, I mean, game four, how upset do you think he was about game four? So that's, you know, by the way, Robbie Stanley tweeted out earlier today, Predators hit the ice for practice today. Guess first thing they went to as soon as they hit the ice.
What's that?
Power play. Right to the power play. Jared and the GM, we're live at K-Bob's Grill and Ale out here at the Vanderbilt area, Hillsborough Village. Again, we have a pair of Game 5 tickets in Section 102 for you to win for tomorrow's 2 o'clock game. So come on out and register to win. We are here until 6. Let's go right. In fact, they got celebrities left and right around here, Floyd. Let's go right to your phones. Let's go to Michael, who's going to kick us off today. Michael, go ahead on Fireball Hot Take Friday. What you got?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Talking about home ice, are you? Have you dropped in to see how the Winnipeg Jets feel about that?
Oh, my goodness. What a loss for them. What a choke job yesterday. Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Jared, I want to ask you a question because I think I'd rather lose 5-1. I think psychologically I can flush that easier than I can what they went through last night. Do you agree with that?
So somebody actually texted me, one of my buddies. Thank you for your call, Michael. Somebody texted me yesterday.
Jared, I'm coming up for you, too. The Game 5 stats, I looked into them, 205-55 in NHL history. Game 5 is the most pivotal game of all time in the NHL.
Well, it's not more pivotal than Game 7, but I know what you mean. Thank you for your call, Michael.
Yeah, bye.
So I would say, I mean, it's not more pivotal than Game 7, but he was talking about the Winnipeg game last night. Oh, my goodness, what a choke job. Winnipeg has a 2-0 lead after two periods. Two periods, Floyd. And they blow it. And then St. Louis scores with 15 seconds to go, and you should have seen the look on the fans in Winnipeg when it happened. Oh, my God. And one of my buddies texted me, and he was like, I think I'd rather lose 5-1 than lose the way that Winnipeg lost last night.
Oh, yeah. You'd rather get your brains beat in simply because you kind of wear it off during the game. You know, it's not the shock. When you do it the way they did it and you get hammered right there at the end, I mean, that cuts deep. That hurts.
Well, the only one thing I would say, though, is that when you get your butt kicked sometimes, you wonder, like, you know, does this Dallas team own the Predators? Whereas Winnipeg's not sitting there today saying, does St. Louis own us? But at the same time, I mean, in a game in which you're almost 80% if you win, you have it through two periods, and then you go and lose.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bad.
It'd be interesting to see what the numbers would be if they changed with a score like that,
oh,
you know, where it came so close.
Oh, and now you have to go with St. Louis and try to stave off elimination, although home ice has meant nothing in that series.
Yeah.
So who knows? Which, by the way, when Winnipeg scored 14 seconds into the game and then scored again to go up 2-0, I thought, uh-oh, have the Winnipeg Jets figured it out? Because they've won two games in a row, and now they're scoring like the old Winnipeg Jets, and Connor and Shifley and all those guys are playing well, and Bufflin's wreaking havoc. I'm like, uh-oh, the Jets might be back. Nope. Let's go to John, who's up next here on Jared and the GM on Game 5. Thank you for calling. Go ahead, John.
Thanks, guys. And first of all, I want to congratulate you for all the entertainment that you provide day after day. I can't believe that you guys squeeze hours of dissection of this team into every day. It's amazing. It's an art form. But anyway, I hope the team and Laviolette and Poile are listening to what I have to say as a season ticket holder. At best, my affinity for this team is on the wane because you never know from night to night whether they're going to show up and play. And I don't mean from a talent standpoint. I mean from what's in their heart. At worst, I've given up on this team because I'm tired of being a yo-yo and not knowing what's going to show up every night. And if they don't want to play for the millions they're making as players, I just assume root for trots.
Okay, so a lot to dissect there. Thank you for your call. I would say this. Isn't that kind of how pro sports works? You know, like they're not going to win every game.
I've tried to convince you of this for the last 3 years because you always go right back to the Titans. Well, what about the Titans? Because they can beat so-and-so, and then they turn right around and lose.
Well, the Titans have lost way too many games over the years for me to not be upset about that.
And you don't think that the Preds have? I mean, we're just seeing that. That happens in to every team in every sport. Every team in every sport. Minus maybe in New England. And, you know, you
Alabama run, football and UConn women's basketball.
If you're in New England and you played the Preds, I mean, the Titans last year, you went back saying, what is happening to this team? So, I mean, it happens every year, every team in every sport. So I don't get, I know that you, you know, keep harping on it, and I just don't get that upset about it because I know it's pro sports and that's what happens.
I go back to what David Poyle said. On the midday show right before the playoffs started. And it was that everything was so close that he goes, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something along the lines of, I'm not allowed to bet on hockey, but even if I was, I would not be able to bet these playoffs because it's so close. And I remember being in the car hearing that and thinking, yeah, except for Tampa. You can go ahead and bet Tampa to the, you know, bet them to the house. And look at Tampa. I mean, the highest when the Athletic has 53 hockey writers on staff. All 53 hockey writers made their predictions before each series. The two biggest favorites amongst the 53 hockey writers on the Athletic's website
are now out.
Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh were both swept in a combined 8 games. Do you realize, like, do you realize how crazy that is? So, I mean, look at the other series. The other number one seed, Calgary, they're down 3-1 to Punch and Judy, Colorado. Look at Winnipeg is down. They were a home ice team. So, I mean, you're looking at the playoffs right now, and this is what the NHL has, the NBA desperately wants, which is legitimate parity where every NBA team, like this, Denver's in the playoffs, right, in basketball?
I have no idea.
I mean, I don't care enough to know. I should, but I don't.
I don't care.
But, like, if you're a Denver Nuggets fan, do you really think your team has a chance? I mean, like, do you really think, like, I think Utah is playing Houston. Do you think, like, Utah Jazz fans are like, you know what? This year, we got a shot to beat Golden State. We got a shot to win the NBA Finals. No. But, I mean, can you, the Islanders have, right now, I mean, you'd feel pretty good if you were an Islanders fan about how your team's doing. So I'm just, like, you can't get too caught up in, you know, the fact that the Predators are losing games and winning games and all that. Now, the effort that we saw in Game 4, and, we've moved on from Game 4, so we now move on to Game 5. I mean, that is concerning that it happens at times. The other part of that, we went over all the butt kickings the Predators have had, you know, under the Peter Laviolette tenure where they don't show up for certain games. The game after they get their butt kicked, they're really, really good. You know, they lost Game 5 to San Jose, came back and won Game 6. They lost 3 games in a row to Anaheim, got their butts kicked, they came back and they won 6 and 7. So they have been good. Even the Stanley Cup Game 6 when they lost, they played a really good game and they just lost 1-0 and then ended up being 2-0 on an empty netter. So they're good in the games after the butt kickings, which should give you hope in this game, where, as Floyd pointed out, the winner of tomorrow's game, in his opinion, will win the series. And again, the stats say, Adam Vingan sent me the tweet, the stats say that that's the case at like a 78%, 79% clip. Back to your phones next, 615-737-1025. Plus, we will get to what Crispy had to say here on this Fireball Hot Take Friday, as we are live once again at K-Bob's Grill and Ale out here in Hillsborough Village, right across the street from Vandy, 1602 21st Avenue South. We will be here until 6 o'clock, so come on out and register to win those lower-level Game 5 tickets. It's Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
We know we're going to have the fans. The fans are going to be there. We've got the best building in the world. Now, it's up to the players to do their part. And that's what the coach said. Players, get back to their game. You said it earlier tonight. It's 2 out of 3 now. Let's get at it.
2 out of 3, according to Crispy Floyd, as we are live out at K-Bob's Grill and Ale. What do you make of Crispy, a former coach, saying that right there, going, players, get back to your game? Do you think that, like, that's going to be kind of tough for a coach to say to players, but I think he's right.
Well, I mean, he's indirectly saying what we've been saying a little bit more directly for the last however long, which is, you know, RV, where are you? I mean, Horsburgh, where are you? First line, where are you? I mean, and you go down that long list of, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 good players now, quality players. These aren't just guys and they're quality players, and you're not getting anything out of it. And this is the playoffs. You know, the regular season, you know, with 82 games, you guys aren't going to play well for 2-3 games in a row. Yeah, okay, well, you know, you'll come back. It'll be fine. Well, this is different. I mean, you got 7. I mean, it's there's not a lot. Now you had 3, you know, so there's ever a time to bring it. It's now.
Back to your phones we go. Again, Jared and the GM live out at K-Bob's Grill and Ale out here in the Hillsborough Village area. K-Bob's has a menu designed with healthy options. On Sundays, you can enjoy 2-for-1 sangrias and half-off bottles of wine all day long. Bring a team for the Sunday night trivia tradition, free, fun, and competitive every Sunday at 8. We've got a pair of Game 5 tickets that you can come and register to win out here at K-Bob's. Let's go to Tristan, who's up next. Here on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. What you got, Tristan?
Hey, what's going on, guys? I don't want Game 5 to be Game 7, Part 1. In all reality, I want that darn McDonald's sign, Jared Stillman, to be right, Preds and 6. At this point, Game 5 is essentially the end-all, be-all, and there are so many teams last night that won a Game 5 that legitimately just changed the series. Both St. Louis and San Jose, I think, were the 3 out of the 4 out of the stats, 3 out of 4 teams, 75% go on to win the series. I think those 3 teams are San Jose, St. Louis, and us.
Yeah, I mean, my thing, and I appreciate your call, Tristan, is do you think you can beat Dallas twice in a row if you absolutely have to?
Oh, it's going to be really, really hard.
I think you've already done it this series.
Yeah, but I don't see it. Maybe you can. I mean, whoever loses this is going to be saying for sure.
Oh, yeah.
It just depends on which side of the table you're sitting again. But, I mean, do I think in practice it's going to work well? I mean, there's nothing, you know, that we've seen so far that makes you believe one of these teams is going to rear up and dominate for 2 games.
No, and it goes back to the Winnipeg thing. Like, I think Winnipeg had a chance if they had won last night. I can't see Winnipeg winning 2 in a row against St. Louis.
Well, no, I can't either. I mean, simply because they had to fight. It was 2-2, right? I
uh-huh.
mean,
it
was 0-2. Yeah.
Winnipeg 1-2.
Then they
right.
came back and 1-2. And so you're thinking, okay, they're on a roll. And they had a chance to get on a roll. But again, that goes to show you how tight all these playoffs are. You know, we're talking about the 2 wins we got, you know, by 1 shot. We've got 2 wins by 2 shots. Well, there's a win for St. Louis by a shot. Right time, you know, it goes in. You win, everything's great. But, you know, for you to think you lined up and kicked butt, I'm not sure that's right. I think it's probably pretty even.
I could not believe that St. Louis goal when it happened last night. I could not believe it. I was stunned when I saw it. Let's go back to your phones. Donovan is up next on the Preds. Go ahead, Donovan.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Hey, if we're going to win this series, we're going to have to win at home. I'm a little bit tired of everybody pointing out jersey number 8 or jersey number 64 or jersey number whatever. The jersey number that I'm most upset with right now as far as home dominance is the one that's hanging in the rafters, and that's jersey number 7. The fans ain't bringing it like they used to. That's my piece on home field advantage. Where's the enthusiasm we saw a couple years ago? Just hope everybody gets fired up. We got to bring it back. We earned the jersey, and if we can't maintain that enthusiasm, we just need to take it down. Thank you so much.
Yep, so I'll say this about the fans. I think the fans have been fine. I mean, the fans are – I mean, you know, the players talk about the energy they get from the fans, and that's great and all of that. I mean, the fans, you know – I mean, I'm focused on the players. No, I'm not focused on the fans. I think the fans – I thought the energy in the building for Game 1 was fantastic. I thought the energy in the building for Game 2 was less than that of Game 1, but it was kind of more that, like, nervous, like, oh, my God, are they going to go down 0-2 to Dallas? I think the energy in the building for the Winnipeg series for all of those games that they lost, 1, 5, and 7, were all just through the roof. So I'm not really too concerned with the fans going into tomorrow's game.
I think what happens with any sport, any place, a couple of exceptions. I think Seattle in football is an exception. I think there are places that are exceptions. But it's not so much that the fans have changed or that the home team has changed. It's the visiting teams. the visiting teams finally have been through it a time or two, and all of a sudden it's not as big a deterrent as it once was. Mm-hmm. Okay, we know it's going to be this way. We know this is the way you have to play. You know what you have to do to overcompensate for all of that, and you do it, and you learn. And so pretty soon it doesn't matter. And like I said, I think that's probably true in most sports. There are exceptions. For whatever reason, there are exceptions. But generally speaking, I mean, you know, you play at home in football, you're going to win more than you are on the road. That's just the way it is. But noise affects football. Noise doesn't affect any other sport. Noise doesn't affect hockey. Noise doesn't affect baseball or basketball or
college basketball. I think is the one where the home court for some strange reason matters the most.
I don't know, maybe.
But and I can't tell you why. But college basketball, it's crazy.
In football, the noise can affect the game itself. Mm-hmm. You know, can affect the performance of the visiting team, and therefore make it really, really hard. And that's why there is a home field advantage for some places because they know that, and the fans know that, and they get really educated about when and how and all those things and get good at it.
Ken is up next on Jared and the GM live from K-Bob's Grill and Ale with a pair of Game 5 tickets. Go ahead, Ken.
Thank you. My opinion is that, or I keep hearing that people are saying that the Predator players are much better than the Dallas players. That may be true, but Dallas is playing much better as a team than Nashville, and that relates to me in management. And the management is not getting the team together. The management is not making the decisions on how to make the power play go better. I mean, it's just a if something is going to have to change, to me, it's going to have to be at the top end and not Poile.
So you basically think they need to change the coach?
I think that's what I would do. I think that we've
the team has never won a division championship. They've won two in a row, and now you want to fire the coach?
Yes. That's
okay.
Thank
you for your call, Ken. I mean, look, I get it. A lot of people, and if they lose this series, a lot of people are going to be mad at LaViolette. And that's really, honestly, the unfortunate aspect of sports. You know, Joel Quenneville won three cups in Chicago. He got fired this year because they were losing again. You know, that's, Floyd, you've been through this many a time in your life. So this is probably nothing new to you.
Unfortunately, coaching is not one of those businesses where people look at what you did yesterday. You know, it doesn't matter what you did yesterday or last year or 10 years ago or, you know, whenever. What matters is what you did today. And that's, again, I think that's true in every sport. And so, as a coach, you realize that. You know, when people, you go sitting in front of the owner and the owner's saying, hey, I feel like I've got to make a change. You're going to say, but I won the championship 5 years ago. Well, guess what? He didn't care. That's 5 years ago. That's dead and gone.
Yeah, he's already made a big decision about five years ago.
Tell me
when he's firing you in his office
what
right
you've
there.
Done for me today to win a championship.
That's like the Bryce Drew thing that came out today, that Bryce Drew was going to sit down with Malcolm Turner and had an 18-page document on how to fix Vandy basketball.
Oh, yeah.
And that Malcolm Turner didn't even read
threw
the document.
In the trash
you know,
can.
Like whatever. And my theory to that is, you've been the coach for 3 years. If you need 18 pages to fix the program, then you probably have broken it. So you probably need to go. And so I see that on that line. They're not going to fire LaViolette, and they shouldn't fire LaViolette. And LaViolette is a good coach, but I'm expecting more out of him in this series as well. Quick NFL draft minute before we get to Chris Sanders, who's going to join us. Again, the draft 1 week from today will be day two downtown. I believe that will be the night of the Tim McGraw concert. So Tim McGraw is throwing, I don't know if you saw this in the Tennessean, Tim McGraw is going to throw a free concert downtown next Friday night as part of the draft thing.
He
told the city that if you get the draft, I will have a concert for free.
Wow.
So Tim McGraw is not getting a check.
This event is going to be so big. I mean, people have no clue how big this thing is going to be. I mean, I'm going to be anxious to just see people because we've had big events.
Oh, yeah.
We've never had anything like this.
No.
This is enormous.
And what's crazy about all of this is that it's, I mean, ABC is picking up the whole draft and is going to have, like, I don't want to say like corny coverage of it, but they're not going to have the nuts and bolts coverage of it. They're going to be doing more of the country music stuff, and they're going to be doing more of it. And I believe that what the NFL is doing is they want to make the draft like the second Super Bowl, you know, where every year that you shut down an entire city so that you can host the draft, just like you shut down your city to host the Super Bowl. And I think that they're using Nashville as the test for this to say, okay, this is what's going to set the bar for what the draft should be like, and that we're going to do this in every town going forward, starting next year with Vegas, of building the draft to be, as I said, like the spring Super Bowl. And honestly, it's probably going to work. So I just think this is going to be crazy. But how about Tim McGraw stepping up to the plate saying, if you get the draft, I'll do a concert in our town for free?
I don't, you know what? To me, I mean, this is, again, that's just one of the aspects of the can-do city.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, that's the way people in Nashville are. And is it great exposure for him? Yes, it is. But it is outstanding exposure.
But does Tim McGraw need exposure?
Yeah, for the city and for the everything that's going on, you know. And imagine just you're downtown, you're going to watch a draft. Oh, by the way, Tim McGraw's got a concert going on. I think I'll wander over there for a while. I mean, how many places can you do that?
If I wore a cowboy hat, I would take my cowboy hat off and tip it to you, sir, Tim McGraw, in your cowboy hat, for the free concert that Tim McGraw is going to throw Friday night. Chris Sanders, former Titans receiver, is going to join us next. Jared in the GM, we are live out at K-Bob's Grill and Ale again out here in the Vanderbilt area on 21st Avenue South. We have a pair of lower-level tickets for Game 5 that you can come on out and register for. It's Jared in the GM, Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, we're live at K-Bob's Grill and Ale. 1 week from today, Floyd Reese, we will know two things. One, we'll know who wins the Preds and Stars series. But number two, we will know who the Titans have drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. We'll also know who's going number one. Because as we talked about yesterday, Floyd, you think Arizona is pumping the tires of Kyler Murray to get the draft haul for somebody who desperately wants Kyler Murray.
Well, no. I mean, my point was just strictly that if, in fact, you were ever going to trade a first, this would be the time because you will get a haul, I think, this draft that you couldn't get other drafts.
Mm-hmm.
Because other drafts, it was always – I mean, as many good players as there are at the top of this draft, there's not a lot of options for number one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think everybody's pretty sure about who number one is going to be.
And Chris Sanders is our number one, and he joins us now, presented by Crane Works. So, Chris, let me put you in Arizona's position. You have the number one pick, and you have Josh Rosen on your team.
Yes.
What do you do? Do you buy Kyler Murray enough that you would draft him number one here in Nashville, or would you get all the picks and build around Rosen?
No, I would take Kyler Murray. And the reason why I'll take him is, number one, his offensive coordinator coached him in high school, so they're familiar with each other. And in my opinion, I just think Josh Allen doesn't really fit the Arizona scheme. So I just think if they get the guy that they want, Kyler Murray, and put him in that system where he can flourish, now you went for a team that was terrible to now they have a good quarterback, now they can be a kind of a contender.
Who in the top 10, Chris, are you going to be surprised? Or maybe not surprised, but who's kind of the big name people are talking about who you think may drop down in the draft a little bit?
I think two. I think Montez Sweat might drop, and I think Brian Burns might drop. Because the reason why they might drop is because some of the teams might jump up and get some quarterbacks. And if they jump up and get some quarterbacks, that's good for the Tennessee Titans because we don't have to trade up. We can stay at 19 and get the guy that we want. Because if those guys are sitting there, we can't do like what we did a couple of years before. You know, trade down or trade up and do all that stuff. We can't do that. We got to get a guy, not just a guy, but an impact player. And if you have Montez Sweat, Brian Burns, or Quinnen Williams maybe sitting there, or even Jeffrey Simmons from Mississippi State, you've got to go and get that dude.
If you're sitting there, Chris, at 19,
and
one of those guys starts to fall, is there a point in time, even though you only got six picks, is there a point in time where you jump up to get him, even though you know it's going to cost you something?
Yeah, I mean, it all depends, Floyd. That if you have confidence that he's still going to get there, I think you got to look at the teams before you to say if on what their needs are, and if their needs aren't a pass rusher, a pass edge guy, then you got to go get him. But to just to kind of flip scripts a little bit, I know everybody, a lot of people are talking about, you know, those top edge rushers that I'm talking about, say Montez Sweat, Brian Burns, Quinnen Williams, Jeffrey Simmons, Dexter, all those guys. But there's one guy in the draft that nobody's talking about that I think really fits the Tennessee Titans scheme, and that's Zach Allen from Boston College. And the reason why I say that if he's sitting there, you get him, is because he fits the identity of the Tennessee Titans. You know, he's a guy that has relentless effort. He's smart. He's an okay athlete, but he's going to give you 125%, and that's the guys that Mike Vrabel and John Robinson are looking for.
There's not a guy that you – let's say you want a defensive lineman. There's none of the defensive linemen that you like that are left at 19.
Whew.
Which way do you go?
Come on, Floyd. Don't do that to me. Don't do it to me, Floyd. I know everybody's not going to agree with me, but it's because it's not a sexy pick. If I have Juwan Taylor from Florida, if I have Cody Ford from Oklahoma, or Garrett Bradbury from North Carolina State, I'm going to get an offensive guard. Because, I mean, look at the Indianapolis Colts from last year. They, at the beginning of the season, they were terrible. And the year before that, they were awful because their offensive line play was so, so bad. But now they went and got Quentin Nelson, and they beefed up that offensive line, and look at what they did. Look at the Tennessee Titans now. They got Saffold from the Rams. You know, Spain and Klein are gone. So now you plug one of these guys in that's just nasty. You went from an offensive line that was terrible. No, not terrible this year. They weren't as good as they were the year before to a team that would be contender to be a straight-up nasty offensive line.
Chris Sanders is with us, presented by Crane Works, serving the Southeast for over 25 years. CraneWorks.com. Okay, so here's my theory, Chris, and I want your thoughts on it. I think if the quarterbacks go, and I believe that there will be four quarterbacks that go before the Titans pick. For some reason at 19, I think Daniel Jones will go. So I think it will be Kyler Murray, Dwayne Haskins, Drew Locke, and Daniel Jones. So that's four. Plus, all the pass rushers, I think, will be gone. That means to me, I think there's a chance Hockenson, the tight end from Iowa, falls to the Titans at 19. If TJ Hockenson is there, even though they've got Delanie Walker, I think there's a chance they go TJ Hockenson at 19. Is that too high for him, or do you think he won't get there?
Jared, man, that's the first time I ever agree with you. I agree with you 110%. And the reason why I agree with you is because he reminds me of a tight end, Travis Kelce from the Kansas City Chiefs. Look at the damage that he does. Look at the matchup nightmare that he brings, you know, for opposing defense. Just imagine getting a guy like that from Iowa, TJ Hockenson, that's going to – you can be in like a 20 personnel, spread him out, and he has the linebackers or the safeties have a cover him. Man, it just changes your offense because now it gives Mariota a security blanket of a guy that might just can't catch the small passes, but also stretch the field and make some big plays. So I agree with you 100%, Jared. If he's sitting there, I think you got to take him. Now, say if he's not sitting there, he has a teammate. His name is Noah Font. If he's sitting there too, pick your choice. I go with one of them because they can change your offense from being good to being great, definitely.
Is there somebody in this draft, just a name, forget the position, but somebody that you've seen play that you really like later in the draft, maybe say third round?
I don't know if he's going to be sitting there, but I like Jermell Dean from Auburn. I mean, he may be gone or he may slip to the second and third round. And the reason why I like this kid, he runs a 4.33. He's physical. You know, he's got lateral quickness. But we got to remember, too, that we don't know if Logan's going to be 100% healthy to solidify that corner spot. So I just think if they go and get a corner, get him, Jermell Dean from Auburn, it just solidifies your secondary because he's big, physical, he's smart, he can make plays, he can jam at the line of scrimmage. So if he's sitting there, Floyd, I mean, I say you take him in the second or third round because he just betters your secondary.
Okay.
Chris Sanders, as always. Chris, what does your gut tell you will happen at 19 next Thursday night?
I don't know, man, because it changes every week. You know, the first time I said Paris Campbell. Then it went from Montez Sweat. Then it went from Brian Burns. Now this week is Zach Allen. I mean, I don't know. I mean, you know, because I'm studying these players. And once you study players and get in depth, as opposed to just going what everybody else is saying, you gotta find a guy that fits the identity of the Tennessee Titans. So if we're sitting at 19, and Montez Sweat and Brian Burns is gone. Just say they're gone, and Zach Allen is on my board at 19. Dang gummit, I'm taking Zach Allen from Boston College.
Well, and we know Vrabel loves Boston College. Chris Sanders, as always, presented by Craneworks. Chris, we will talk to you ahead of the draft next week.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Chris okay, Sanders thanks, joining guys. Us, as always, there. Floyd, I'm like Chris. I'm like Mel Kiper. I'm changing my pick every day as to who I, you know, I never considered Hockenson. But then when you think that the pass rushers are going to go and the quarterbacks are going to go, Hockenson may get down to 19, and if Hockenson gets to 19, that may be the right call there for the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I think it depends on, you know, how high you value him.
Do you value him?
You know, he's okay. I mean, I think if he and Fant were both there, I'd trade down.
And take Fant?
You know, and go, I'm not sure. You know, Hockenson might drop, too, if he's gotten at 19.
615-737-1025 is the phone number, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM, we are live out at K-Bob's Grill and Ale with a pair of lower-level tickets for Game 5 for you to come and win. That's right, you can come and win those tickets for Game 5 tomorrow. Back to the Preds. Coming up next, some more stuff from Preds practice today, but also I don't know how to quantify what they have to do tomorrow, but for the first time in the series, they've really got to do something they maybe haven't done since Game 1. We'll get to that next. It's Jared and the GM, live from K-Bob's on a Fireball Hot Take Friday. It's ESPN 100.